brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your lights are shining free. I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world.
Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and welcome, everybody. We're getting ready for the holidays, and I'm sure that a lot of you are very busy, very stressed, and maybe a little bit excited. Of course, it does bring in stress, and we're going to be talking about how to work with ourselves, and we're going to see beyond illusions, and we're going to find out about collapsing time and how we work with that. Our guest tonight is David Cowan, and I'm thrilled to have him, and I'm thrilled to be able to bring his techniques to everybody who listens to Let's Find Out. So here we are. Hello, David. How are you?
Fine. Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you for the opportunity to share with your audience.
Well, it's my pleasure. Let me just say that if you want to call in as we talk and ask David a question about our subject tonight, the number is 888-429-5471. Again, if you want to call in and join us, the number is 888-429-5471. Well, let's talk about your interest in energy medicine. I'm very excited about that because I do that work as well.
Sure. Well, it was a few years ago. I was working actually as a counselor for troubled youth and unemployed. And, I really loved that work and connecting with clients. But I began to notice a very similar pattern that many of these folks were not really taking care of themselves. They weren't educated in the basics of self-care, and particularly in the area of nutrition. So I started to study nutrition and began to integrate it somewhat into the counseling work, although it wasn't officially okay to do that. And sooner or later, my interest in health and healing led me to work with a technology known as quantum biofeedback. Mm-hmm. And I was just enamored by what this technology could do as far as, helping people with information, but also work with them energetically. And that's basically where I got started in this field.
Dr. Deepak Chopra does a lot of bioenergetic feedback. I've worked very closely with him in the past. He's very good at what he does.
Yes, and his original work, I believe it was called Quantum Medicine.
Correct.
Was a real door opener for all of us, I think.
Especially when he took all the foods and divided them into the parts of the body. I thought that was just great. What you mm-hmm. can eat, what you can't. Mm-hmm. Spiritual healing is very different from other healing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you know about that?
Well, sure. And that's where the quantum biofeedback eventually led me, was to the understanding that, first of all, whatever technology can do, we ultimately can do, because technology comes from us. And when real change is desired, we have to go to a deeper level of cause, whatever that life issue might be, even if it's a physical health issue, that if we don't go to the level of cause, we're really still operating on the level of effect. And it turns out that the mind is really the level of cause. And when we say spiritual healing, I'm not talking about, religious healing necessarily or in that context. Rather, my understanding of the term spiritual is simply multidimensional, and the cause of that multidimensional reality. So that's where the work has gone now, is to working with the level of cause with the mind, recognizing that the body and the world and all of our experiences here are really all operating on the level of effect. Kind of like a movie is how I tell my clients about this. I say, think of life as a movie, and you're in the movie theater, and maybe you're enjoying the movie, but maybe there's parts of the movie that are causing you stress. So what do you do? Do you go up onto the movie screen and try and move things around and change things on the level of effect? Or do you recognize that the movie is actually coming from the projector? And if you want anything to change on the screen, you have to go and fix the projector.
Have you ever heard of the moment of charge, David?
No, that's a new term for me.
And your terms are very familiar to me, very familiar. The moment of charge is the first time the emotion comes on the body from some kind of an experience.
Yes.
The root of all disease is thought.
Yes.
You have to have a thought before you can get sick. You have to have a thought before you can be well, too. And it works with our neutrons and our chemistry and all the stuff I don't understand. But the moment of charge is very, very interesting. I studied with Dick Summer. He was on our show last week, and I studied with him, and he uses present life, past life hypnosis techniques to take the person back to the first time they became familiar with whatever emotion is causing them stress now.
Sure.
And to me, that's the key of the cure. If you can get back to that moment of charge in your movie theater in the front row and then change the outcome, when you come out of that energetic experience, that fear is gone.
Indeed. And, you know, our work has with the dowsing has evolved into what we call mind field repatterning. And it's pretty much in alignment with what you just described. With the dowsing, however, we're able to help people pinpoint the moment in time where that decision, that interpretation was initially made. That's and sometimes it's not even in this life.
No, it's not in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So the moment, it's called the moment of charge, and it's considered, you know how protons and neurons charge each other. There's an electronical spark. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you walk into a room and fall in love at first sight, that's a moment of charge.
I'll say. And she'll charge you for the rest of your life.
and you can really do something with it. I would love to give you an example.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it'll help people understand. I had a girl I was working with, and she was about 28 years old, and she had just had a son. And she went to the doctor, and they diagnosed her with multiple sclerosis.
Mm.
So she wasn't sure whether she had it or not, so she came to me to try to find out. And I regressed her back to early childhood, because I knew that her mother had had problems, emotional problems, when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I regressed her back to 3, and she started to cry and have a deep reaction. And I said, "What's going on?" And she said, my mother had a nervous breakdown at 3 years old because my brother died of crib death syndrome.
Oh, sure.
So I came right when she was 3. So I came right out and I said, "Michelle, you are not going to lose your son. He is not going to die of crib death syndrome. You are not going to have a mental breakdown. So let's go forward." And I took her forward to her son's graduation day, to his wedding day, feeling her grandchildren. And we went, this whole process took about an hour. And sure. When we were done, the multiple sclerosis had disappeared.
Sure. Yeah, I have no doubt about that. The body is a printout of the mind, again, as Deepak Chopra told us.
Yes, it is. Tell us more about your books. Which one do you think we should be looking at this stressful time, especially with the election? And next week will be one of the most stressful weeks we've had in a long time.
I'll say. Well, I guess it depends on what folks are looking for. If they're looking for a larger overview of the times we're in, the first book, Navigating the Collapse of Time, looks at this time of transition from very, you know, multiple perspectives. Physiological, cultural, historical, even the ET question. So it's a good overview for those who are perhaps just opening up to a greater reality. And the second book is more about the skill. It's the principles and practices of mind field repatterning. So if someone is interested in learning a healing modality that is very deep and thorough, operating on that level of cause.
That's Seeing Beyond Illusions? You didn't say the name of the book you're referring
to. No, Dowsing Beyond Duality.
Okay.
Yeah, the second book is all about our pendulum work, and it's like a home study course. There's charts and instruction all through it. The third book, Seeing Beyond Illusions, is really more of a spiritual work, more on the inner planes, about recognizing how anything in our world that can change ultimately is not real. And getting in touch with that part of ourselves that cannot and does not change, to find the peace that is possible. You know, as you were mentioning, this is a very chaotic time. And the model of finding the eye in the center of the storm, I think, is very appropriate if any time now. So it's about guiding us to those experiences of inner peace.
Right, and that's the center of the heart, as some mm-hmm. people call it, or the state of being. It's very difficult to hold the state of being, though. You can get there, but mm-hmm. holding it for longer than a half an hour for a lot of people is difficult.
Well, we dive in and out, and everything in this universe is oscillating. That's what creates the experience of change. So we dive into the peace and we fill our hearts and minds with that essence. And then we bring it back into the world and extend it through our relationships and through our experiences. So it's actually appropriate that we should come and go as long as we seem to be here, at least in time, space, and bodies.
Yes, we're here for a purpose. And the purpose is always to learn how to love more and to be of service to mankind. I see that you mentioned that you use pendulum work.
Uh-huh.
And I don't use pendulum work. I use muscle testing. But uh-huh. would you tell us about how you work with the dowsing and the pendulum work?
Well, we use the pendulum in two different modes. And the first mode for information gathering is actually very much akin to muscle testing, and operates through the same physiological channels, accessing what we call the superconscious mind. But then once we've gotten the information, let's say we've found the time when an emotional memory charge originated in memory, then we use the spin of the pendulum in a more active form to literally pull energy out or to bring something new or fresh in. And this utilizes the energy of the vortex, which in and of itself is a transformational pattern that we see all around us in creation. Whether you're a photon of light or a galaxy, if you're here, you're likely spinning. And so when we use the spin of an object, even something as seemingly innocent as a pendulum, we are in fact consciously accessing that co-creative potential. And within the heart of the spin is what I would call a zero-point energy field, a null point, a gravitational still point, like that eye in the storm we were talking about. And that literally creates a virtual stargate, you might say, giving us access to all dimensions of time and space. And then when we speak our intention, it's like it's dropping into that zero-point energy and then manifesting wherever and whenever we send it. So it's kind of a powerful little tool. I do acknowledge, however, that it's not absolutely necessary because our energy field is spinning. I mean, you can use your body as a pendulum for that matter, or you can simply visualize one.
As a matter of fact, what we do is we take our first finger and our middle finger, put them together, and do a circle with our chakras. You have to go in a clockwise position. Uh-huh. And you go up all your chakras with that circle, and set the intention of balance for each chakra, and you can balance yourself during the day.
Yes, yeah.
And some people are not good with pendulums, but setting a condition is wonderful. Setting a condition is a little bit different from manifestation, but setting a condition is very powerful. And if you set a condition and you make a contract with yourself, don't ever try to go back on it because it won't work. Do you have any stories about that?
Well, you mean about setting conditions?
And trying to go back on your word?
Well, again, we can always change our minds. And that is, of course, the freedom of choice that we have here. And truly, it's our saving grace. So I'm not quite sure what you mean by that question.
Let's give you an example, because when you set a condition, you can't change your mind. Let me give you an example about how it works. I had a friend that was trying to sell her house. And she wanted a certain amount for it. And I said, well, why don't you set a condition? So we went through whatever we went through. And she said she wanted $6,500,000 for the house. Mm-hmm. And I said, fine. So she called me up a couple of days later and she said that she had sold it. And I said, my goodness, that's wonderful. That was so fast. She said, but I didn't get my price. I said, what do you mean? She said, I only got $145,000. I said, well, it's not going to go through. It will not go through. It can't, because you said it. So she was surprised that I said that, but I told her Mercury was retrograde. They wouldn't be able to get a mortgage, and that she, on the other side was her gift, so that she would get what she wanted. And that's exactly what happened. Mercury went retrograde. They didn't get the mortgage, and it had to go back on the market again. And she sold it for a couple of thousand more than she had set the condition for. What a great person that was. She was holding her truth, David. When a person set the condition, then they have to hold their truth. So fascinating the way it works. It's just so fascinating.
Well, we're not aware of the power of our minds. And what I hear you say is that once you set that condition, there really is no going back. Right. Because it's because of the power of your own mind to set that intention.
Right. And setting a condition is different from saying you're going to do something or making a promise. It's just something very deep is what I mean. So what is the most pressing problem in the world today?
Well, I would say it comes down to something very simple and universal, and that is our misidentification with our thought-made self or ego. And, you know, humanity is on the brink of a developmental evolutionary leap, akin to the leap in the past when, for example, single-cell organisms, when they were the only form of life on the planet, all of a sudden in evolutionary times, almost overnight, joined together and recognized their mutual interests and became multicellular plants and animals. It feels to me like we're on the cusp of that same transition, and we have to. We have to start seeing our common interests, not what divides us, but what joins us. And so I would say the problem right now is the state of the mind in its underdevelopment, in its state of the belief in the separation and attachment to personality and ego. Once we start to recognize the divine self in each and every relationship, then there is no longer any motivation for war, for anger, for disease, for inequality. All of these things will go away once we recognize I'm only doing this to myself.
And you know what's great, David? This I do astrology. I didn't know if you know that. I write astrology columns all over the country. And this full moon that we're having on Tuesday in Gemini, it's really a moon of total endings. We are ending an 18-year era, and we're ending a lot of different things.
And wow, that's great.
And this was the year of the monkey, which has me hysterical because, of course, with all that's been going on, nothing has happened the way we thought it would. And you know what monkeys do? They just pull out everything.
Well, one of the favorite descriptions of the ego mind is the monkey mind, right?
There you go, the monkey mind. And do as I say and not as I do, of course. Now we're going into the year of the rooster, which I think is even funnier. the most pressing problem in the world is our minds and how we think, especially prejudice. David, if we could do anything, I would like to lift prejudice. Or thinking that things are done to us.
Right, the victim role.
Not that they come from out of us. We create everything, and every person we meet comes into our life for a reason.
Yes.
So the question we need to ask ourselves is, how did I bring this to myself? What is the solution to this problem that I have brought into my reality?
In the past, it seems like these types of realizations had to be done on an individual level, and there was no hastening of that event. It happened when it happened, and it wouldn't happen before that. I think something unique is on the table now, a quantum moment of awakening, if you will, where we will be given a collective opportunity to move into that state of consciousness. Again, not superseding our free will. Some will choose not to accept the possibility of an awakened self, and that's fine, but it's time for at least a good percentage of us on this planet to fully awaken to that state.
I have a wonderful woman that I have worked with. She's from India. Her name is Amrita Nandamayee, and she comes across the United States every year. And I've been with her 30 years, this 2017. And her statement is this: give me 1,000 people in a room, and I can move anything. So what you just said is so true. It's a matter of choosing to single your mind into a specific area and meditating with more and more. And to be doing group work. I think we are going to learn how to do group mind work. I think it's going to raise our vibration. I think it's going to be a great saving grace.
Indeed. I call the process flipping in. Instead of flipping out, you know, pointing the finger, trying to look for causes outside of ourselves.
That's flipping in. That's cute. I like that.
Yes.
I like to come from the I am instead of the you are. That's the way I
there
think.
You go. Always. And that's really all we ever experience, isn't it? Isn't it ourselves?
It is. What we're doing together here tonight is showing how so many people are getting the same ideas and expressing them in their own unique way. And I love it.
Indeed. There's a perennial truth that runs through all of us. And that's what's waking up.
Well, this is Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce. And we're speaking with David Cowan. And we're going to go into commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the greater purpose behind these chaotic energies. We have had a very confusing and chaotic year. And a lot of that is because of the consciousness of the groups. So we'll talk more about that. David, could we please have your website?
Yes, we can be visited at bluesunenergetics.net.
And is there a contact phone number if anybody wanted to call and ask you something?
Sure. I'll give you the cell number. It's 949-677-5169.
Okay. Again, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we will be back right after this. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written, practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for this evening's cosmic tip. Getting it together. Maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's becoming everything that isn't really you, so you can become who you really are, who you were meant to be in the first place. Perhaps you've done what was expected of you for so long that you've lost sight of what you really wanted for yourself. Do you want a big house to entertain in? Or is that something that you feel you needed to create for some sort of community stature? Do you want to live in New York City? Or are you here by default because you just never left or you were too afraid to leave? Did you want to hang out with so-and-so because they made you feel like a better human? Because you feel like you have to? Because there seems like there's no choice? Do you want to go to meditation class or yoga because it makes you feel better? Or because it's what everybody else is doing? Are you a groupie? By purposely focusing on yourself, you can take the time to ask yourself, why? Why are you doing something or not doing it or even wanting to do it? It's amazing what happens when you take a moment, however brief, to ask yourself, why? Have you ever been doing a lot of stuff, making life decisions, because of some value system that existed outside of yourself? Well, if you have, that means you aren't living your values. Are you living someone else's? When I stopped to ask myself that question, this is the advice my guide gave me. My guide said, no matter what I am doing or thinking about, I should take the time to consciously ask if I'm living my values. Every time I'm doing something that I might be a bit unsure of or not quite comfortable with, that's the question to ask. What am I doing or thinking about doing? Am I living my values? Awareness is so brilliant and important. It just takes a minute to do, and is something most of us probably don't consciously often think enough about, if at all. It's easy to get caught up keeping up with the Joneses, or perhaps doing everything that society has told us that we should do. Here are my famous Atlantic City words. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, if. Oh, and then there's always but. It's easy to waste days, weeks, months, years working. For what? It's easy to stay in a relationship that is sucking the life out of us because why again? Because it's easier sometimes to stay on the trajectory that we have set in motion than to pause and ask, why am I doing this? And then have the courage to make the change. That's disruptive and hard and unpopular and lonely and risky and scary. But it's completely worth it. A friend of mine tagged me on Facebook and said, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that is and isn't really you so that you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. A beautiful, shining, strong, gifted, and reliable daughter of God. My guide gave me another quote that I really love. And I think I started saying this to myself in the late 1980s, and I've been saying it ever since. Stay true to yourself, even when the circumstances may seem to be against you. Because by unbecoming everything that isn't really you, eventually you'll be effortlessly living your values. I began that road trip in 1985, and it certainly changed my life for the better. Sometimes I think, maybe if I hadn't stepped off that beaten path, I'd no longer be anywhere. I'd be melted, gone, wiped out. Here's a cosmic tip. Today, forget the past. Forgive yourself. And then choose to begin again. So, consider this your invitation. You who feel restless and ready for adventure, exploration, and self-discovery. Ready, set, go! And now let's get back to Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, December 18th, our guest will be Mark Dodich, famed astrologer from Portland, Oregon. Mark has been with us many times before. We will be discussing the Gemini full moon on Tuesday, the upcoming winter solstice, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, what's happening in 2017, as well as its effects on everyone during this celebration time. We'll also be discussing what's coming with the Electoral College vote on December 19th through January 20th, when the president is supposedly inaugurated. There are major problems and changes afoot. Also, this is a call-in show, so if you want to call in and ask us a question on Let's Find Out, the number is 888-429-5471. So don't miss it. Tune in to Let's Find Out Sunday night, December 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. I'm looking forward to the show. I really like it when our listeners can call in and ask their questions. What we'll need is your first name, birth date, and one focus question. Again, Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Tune in next week for me and Mark Dodich. We'll be there, and I hope you will be too.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, an honored guest. Come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Jim Croce with Time in a Bottle. And I played that special tonight because of the subject matter, but I will tell you that we never have enough time when we find the things that we want to do. There's got to be ways that we can expand our time and that we can do it without stress and fear. My guest tonight is David Cowan, and he knows just how to do it. Isn't that right, David?
Still working on it, but yeah.
So what can we really do to make a difference in our lives and to help with the direction of the planet Earth?
Well, I guess the answer is in time itself, taking time to devote to the inner world, to the inner reality, whether that's 5 minutes or half an hour a day, you know, where we put our attention is what increases in our lives. And if we put our attention on our hearts and on silencing the mind, we're going to become much more of a spokesperson for that peace. But unless we give some time on a regular basis, you know, there's a reason why they call these spiritual practices, is because yes. everybody's a novice. And you know, we don't sit down at the piano and play a concerto unless we've practiced for many years. So we're really talking about the importance of devoting time to the inner life, to the inner world, and to ourselves. Not our small self, small s self, but the true self, the self that yearns for meaning and connection. It's all there. We just get so easily distracted and pulled into our lives.
We do, and I call that, I suggest to everybody, morning meditation and nightly review. Morning meditation is to connect up with the day. All you have to do is take a deep breath and ask for the light of love and peace to shine through you with everyone you meet during the day. And then nightly review is a little different. That's where you sit down and make notes about things you did during the day. Maybe you didn't like, you had a response you weren't comfortable with or something. Mm-hmm. And you have 24 hours to make amends. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we don't give it attention, it just seems to, our life just seems to slip away in meaningless moments and fruitless pursuits. But just that much can make a tremendous difference for ourselves and for the planet. Because on the level of mind, we are all connected, and we have influence and effects far beyond what we can perceive with our senses.
And what's exciting is that we all have an inner voice. A lot of us don't think we do, but it's the kind of thing that says, you shouldn't have just done that. Or you know, you'll kind of, at nightly reviews, start to realize how your inner voice works. And listening to it enhances as we go along with our meditation. So the more you do it, the more you'll get. And that's really true. What is this demonstration you were going to show us, David?
Well, I wanted to share an experience because, you know, information is great, but until we have an experience, it's not really our own. And the technique that we have developed, mind field repatterning, which people can learn more about on the site, involves taking intention and literally broadcasting it with the right spin of a pendulum. And in this case, what we're working with are number codes. It turns out that in the higher dimensions, in the sixth dimension, in the model that we ascribe to, the organization of the world and of matter and of the denser realms is all mathematical. It's all held in place by sacred geometry and mathematical principles as the templates or blueprints of creation. And so when we use numbers consciously and broadcast them on that level of joined mind, we can actually create a ripple effect in the quantum field, you might say, that can actually have positive and tangible effects. So what I'd like to do is just demonstrate this for the listeners and anybody listening to the recording for that matter, this will also come through, is I'm going to start the process now with a right spin, which is a positive vortex. It's for sending energy. And if each and every one would like to put their attention on their breath, just in order to be present. The breath is a wonderful anchor into this moment. And as it turns out, this moment is the only time we actually ever truly experience ourselves. And so with that in mind, I'm going to now extend the rate 66993 to each and every listener in this broadcast, carrying with it the essence of peace, the essence of inner silence, the essence of that connection that we've been talking about that is so desperately needed by all of us. We extend it this through the intention and the carrier of 66993, asking 66993 to gently land in the energy field of each and every one receiving this broadcast now, and that 66993 will operate to create experiences of peace, tangible experiences within, of the essence and quality of inner peace, and will continue to do so for each and every one of us until no longer needed or beneficial. So when we start the spin and speak the intention, the spin takes on a life of its own. So it's going to continue to spin until the information is delivered and received. But folks can take that number, 66993, for example, write it down, put a glass of water on it, or carry it folded up in your pocket, just as a, you might say, almost like an energetic homeopathic remedy that will carry with it this trigger memory of peace. And there it goes. We just completed the spin.
For a lot of people, that will be very helpful. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd like you to give your website, please.
Yeah, it's bluesunenergetics.net. And on that website, there are tabs for connecting with us for personal sessions, for learning more about the techniques that we use. And also, there's a very special offering we're giving for December only. It's a package of our recorded classes and a personal session that people can also check out. It's a time-limited offer, however, so I would encourage people to look at that right away.
That's great. That's their Christmas holiday special, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good. So are you having any public appearances, David, in the near future?
Well, I'm in conversation right now with a producer, a movie producer from Phoenix. And he's already got the trailer up. It's called The Enlightenment Stories. And he's just finalizing right now the funding for the movie. And it's going to be a really exciting movie as well as a television series using different healers and demonstrating different techniques in live situations, kind of like a spiritual healing reality show, where people will come with certain, things going on in their lives and actually be able to access spiritual healing or whatever the different practitioners are offering as a demonstration to the general public. So I think it's going to be really good.
Our guest has been David Cowan, and we're coming to the end of the show. So we've had a wonderful time with you, bringing us your solutions and the way that you do healing. And I'm sure that there'll be a time that you'd like to come back to Let's Find Out or to bbsradio.com. It's been a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for everybody involved. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. And so, again, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Our next guest next week is Mark Dodich, and he is a wonderful astrologer. We're going to be talking about the upcoming electoral college voting next week, as well as the energies that are coming in Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and 2017. It will be a call-in show next week, and we love hearing from our audience. Right now, it's time to go into the meditation. The meditation is called Opening to the Truth. So get ready to relax. Put your feet on the floor, sit in a straight back chair, or you can lie down on the bed. As long as your spine is straight and nothing is crossed, then we're good. And here we are, opening to the truth. This is Elizabeth Joyce with this week's guided meditation, Opening to the Truth. Please sit with both feet flat on the floor. Have your thumb and forefinger touching to open your circuits. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And open yourself up to the message that's coming through the universe. I want you to think about opening your eighth chakra, which will open you up to your inner truth. Truth is something that can withstand the test of experience. A man should look for what is, not for what he thinks it should be, Albert Einstein. Without the core of truth, there can be no real justice, equality, success, progress, intelligence, security, peace, love, spirituality, or even our survival. Without truth, man is lost and is headed for certain disaster, perhaps in the near future. How can one open up and release their pain and move forward into the light of peace and happiness? Well, truth has a common denominator, to be assured. Truth is the only thing that can unite all human beings. It is what we all have in common and something that will always remain. There is only one sky for all of us. Everyone breathes.
Everyone eats and drinks. Everyone needs sleep. Everyone has their personal rites of passage moments. Everyone drops the body and goes into transition. And the one who is walking as a dead man throughout life will find their life through their death. Therefore, the ultimate truth is universal truth. It's the same case for every human being everywhere. It is a part of how we exist and how we move within the oneness of the universe. Science has finally found the common DNA component that fills all forms of life. This has always been there and always will be. In this millennium, mankind is beginning to see this one big picture of life, living in oneness and living in truth. Believe me, the truth always comes out. When they say the truth will set you free, it's referring to a movement within the heart, within your aura, that sets you free from the burden of worry and shame. Only truth can stop wars, crime, hate, and vengeance to make the world the paradise that it can be. Believe it or not, 2 plus 2 equals 4. It does not equal anything else, although someone may try to tell you differently. That's the truth. There is my truth, there is your truth, and then there is the truth. Believing that 2 plus 2 equals 5, or maybe 6, doesn't make it true. There's always an infinite amount of perceptions and wrong answers, but there's only one true answer. Many of us have been bending the truth for some time. A child takes a test at school and fails. The teacher calls him in after class to go over the answers. As she shows the child each question's correct answer, the child's response is, "Oh, I knew that. Well, I was going to write that. Well, I really meant to say that." We all need to use our ability, our gift of logic, to unearth evidence and to know and realize the truth. To solve a problem or a crime, you always follow the evidence. And as you go along, you will find that sometimes the first evidence may not reveal the whole truth. However, mankind has progressed far enough along to know and understand the fundamentals of truth and how life works. After death, we continue on as a different form of life than in our Earth life. We know that there are other galaxies. There are other planets and solar systems that hold life such as ours. There are other universes that exist as well. And once we all accept this, it will transform our world and guide us to understand the unity and power of oneness even more. We believe it's wrong to kill another human being, for the most part. When a life leaves the Earth before a natural death occurs, it disturbs the tapestry of the universe. There is a rip in the cloth, a void, and it has to be mended. A newly learned truth passes through three stages. 1, ridicule. 2, it is violently opposed. And then 3, it becomes accepted as fact and self-evident. It is not what you hear or what you look at that matters. It is what you see and how you interpret it. How you take what you see inwardly and make decisions from inside you. It is your self-response, and herein lies the power of grace. Remember Melanie in Gone with the Wind? She truly chose to see only the good in life, the true center of the heart. When you view life like this, clearly and truly, it feels good and right. It brings you peace. It is what is known as a peak moment, a moment of clarity. These peak moments in life feel good because you gain a larger percentage of what each moment in life actually contains. You are filled with joy, love, and peace. Your mind and thoughts are gatekeepers of your life. Some universal truths only flicker in, however, because of the ego, and most times it does not. The new fifth dimension energies that arrived in 2012 are now removing those blocks to set up some new thinking patterns. Along with this comes new, healthier responses that will bring forth a new environment for the human race. Of course, this all takes time, evolution, and what comes with that is destruction before reconstruction. The hidden darkness must be brought to the light, revealed and released. How has your life been going since December 21st, 2012? I'm sure there has been some chaotic moments. At this time, your mind is blocking most of this new light that is coming forth for you. When the blocks are lifted and the mind no longer blocks this new light, then you can receive what is called fulfillment of life. True life without fear, only blending balance, peace, and harmony. Now we have been given the gift of the eighth chakra. And it's time for us to work on opening all of these new spiritual chakras to benefit ourselves as well as mankind. Once you do, and once the eighth chakra begins to spin for you, at that time you will be able to reflect all this beautiful higher dimension light back out into the world. Seeing the Great Sphinx in Egypt, the Empire State Building in New York, or the Eiffel Tower in Paris for the first time is usually a peak moment for people. That also goes for a magnificent mountain range in the Swiss Alps or the Red Rocks in Sedona, Arizona. Why does this experience make you feel so alive? Nothing really happens to you. Why don't these sights feel that way the second time you see them? You're seeing them the same as you did before. The reason is that your mind has already opened up to their energy, that powerful, special, first moment sight. The truth is that every moment in life is special and precious. As you adapt to these new energies, you can be completely open to all of life all the time. You have to see life. You have to taste life. You have to embrace life. To know from within the gift of truth that is inside your real self. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I want to thank Richard Shulman for the background music. It's called Higher Dimension. Thank you for listening to this special guided meditation.